Hey, everybody. Before we start this new episode of the Power of Records podcast, we just want to thank our sponsor, which is InStockTrades.com. InStockTrades is your best online source for trades, hardcovers, and other collected editions, all for up to 45% off with free shipping for orders of $50 or more. And two of the deals that you can find on InStockTrades.com right now, they are both Spider-Man related picks, because that's what we're talking about for this episode. Chris, what are you highlighting here on InStockTrades?
I think I'll highlight Essential Spider-Man Trade Paperback Volume 6. This is, according to them, the new edition. I know there have been several essential iterations. Says the description: dark days loom as Spider-Man faces adversaries old and new, and learns that not only does great power come with great responsibility, but also great heartache. This volume includes classic stories featuring Spider-Man versus the Hulk in Canada, the deaths of Gwen Stacy and the Green Goblin, the first appearances of the Man-Wolf and the Punisher, and the wedding of Dr. Octopus and Aunt May, which is really creepy considering the Superior Spider-Man. Collecting Amazing Spider-Man 114 through 137, Giant-Sized Superheroes number 1, and Giant-Sized Spider-Man 1 through 2, but no Giant-Sized Man-Thing. Written by Jerry Conway, Stan Lee, Len Wein, art by John Romita, Gil Kane, and Ross Andrew. And regular price is $19.99. In-stock trades price is $11.59. That's 42% off. Sweet. Can't beat that.
Nope, sweet. My selection is Spider-Man Tangled Web Volume 2. Tangled Web was a Spider-Man anthology book where they had kind of more like indie creators doing little short stories, and I really enjoyed that book. Volume 2 features stuff by Bruce Jones, Lee Weeks, Carrie Andrews, and Darwin Cook, who I love. The cover has got a great shot of a kid sitting in front of a TV watching the Spider-Man cartoon show. So it tells you that kind of the approach that this book took. This collection reprints Spider-Man Tangled Web numbers 7 through 12. Normal price is $14.95. Their price this time is $8.67. That is 42% off. So that is a really good deal if you really enjoy Spider-Man and get some fun stuff via InStock Trades. For these and all your other trade paperback needs, visit InStockTrades.com, and we thank them for their support.
Power Records presents
Welcome to another episode of the Power Records podcast, where the action comes alive. I am one of your hosts, Rob Kelly, creator and editor of AquamanShrine.net. And with me, as always, is my regular co-host, Supermates podcast co-host, Chris Franklin. Chris, how you doing?
I'm good, Rob. How are you?
I'm very good. I said we both got back in respective theaters from seeing Guardians of the Galaxy for the second time each.
Yes.
And we're also full of Marvel fun, and you know, it's a shame that they never did a Guardians of the Galaxy power record.
Well,
and we say that about every character practically, but that especially would have been a lot of fun.
Yeah, Charlie, what was his name?
Charlie 27.
Yondu.
Yondu.
And Martin X and Vance Astro and all that. Yeah.
They would have been probably the same three actors playing all the different parts. But
right, yeah, as we will see.
So speaking of which, yeah, this episode is about Spider-Man. We thought, why not? Spider-Man was, I guess, arguably Power Records' biggest star, probably more than even Superman or Batman in terms of how many different records he got. Mm-hmm. Or how they spread them across. The two stories we're going to talk about this time are – the first one is called The Return of the Conquistador, and the other one is The Mad Hatter of Manhattan. Now, both of these appeared on an LP, including three other stories, The Abominable Snowman, The Bells of Doom, and Invasion of the Dragon Men. Now, we've previously covered Invasion of the Dragon Men, and that was done as a book and record set. These other four stories were never done – in comic book form. These are just audio adventures. And I knew that they had appeared on 45s. I never had any of the 45s, but I knew they were on 45s. I had the LP here. But Chris, you were kind enough to send me sleeves, which we'll post on the Tumblr, fireandwaterpodcast.tumblr.com, of the 45 sleeve art for these. And one of them is by Neil Adams.
Yeah, Neil Adams Spider-Man. You don't see that very often.
No. I mean, when you mentioned it, you in the show notes, Chris sent me, he mentioned that. And I was like, what is he talking about? I've never seen any Neil Adams. So here it is, and it's beautiful. I mean, it's a really nice little drawing of the conquistador firing at Spider-Man. So I don't know. I've never come across this in my collection. I might have to try and find it on eBay and pick it up. The one, the art for the other one, the Mad Hatter Manhattan, is how do we put this? Loose, I guess.
Yeah.
Maybe is a polite word.
In-house artist.
In-house artist. I can't. I mean, these are original adventures. These stories. So it's not like they had comic books to pull from. But boy. This is kind of amazing that this is licensed material, this considering how sloppy some of this artwork looks like.
Yeah, it looks like it reminds me a lot of the AHI Rack Toys. They had rough artwork on them too, you know, so that's what it kind of reminds me of. It's like, you know, you'd almost think this is a bootleg, you know? especially compared to Neil Adams. But,
yeah, really? Seriously? I wonder why you said it. It's strange they got Neil to do this one story. My favorite thing, I think, about this LP that featured all four stories is on the back. It has five exciting Spider-Man adventures, and it condenses all five stories into four-panel, or in some cases five-panel, comic strips. Mm-hmm. And it just tells the entire story, which basically is the villain on the rampage, Spider-Man punches the villain, the end. That's the entire story. It's like those Castle Film things that were the 15mm, 35-minute versions of horror movies where they're just condensed to incredibly arbitrary ways. It's almost like, well, why bother hearing the record? I've already read the story here. Here's the robot. Robot goes crazy. Spider-Man swings in, punches the robot. He walks away. That's it. We're done.
Yeah, and the artwork on that was – I think it's interesting because I saw that on your Power Record blog that – that they have lifted the Spider-Man figures from comic art. and in fact, one of them, I think, is from, you know, the Man-Wolf story. They replace it with some other character. And the rest of it, the rest of the artwork is as rough as this Mad Hatter 45 sleeve. It's drawn with a Magnum 45 marker and in the dark. You know, it's pretty rough.
Yeah, it's like we had to get it done. We didn't have enough time. Marvel's not going to look at this, so it's fine. Everything is fine.
Right.
Anyway, without further ado, why don't we get right to it? The first story is The Return of the Conquistador, which, you know, has a kind of a gritty opening, but you'll hear all that as you get to it. So why don't you enjoy Spider-Man in The Return of the Conquistador.
Did you read this morning's paper? Somebody broke into the museum last night and stole that early Spanish painting, the one believed to be in El Greco. What a shame, before I even had a chance to see it. Why didn't you tell me about it, Henry? Henry, did you hear me? Come have your breakfast, dear. Your coffee's getting cold. Henry? Henry? What's keeping him? I better take a look.
Late afternoon of the same day at Homicide Police Headquarters.
The coroner's report says the bullet was a lead ball fired from an antique handgun.
And the victim's left ear was sliced off by a sharp blade of some kind.
Yeah, and pinned to the body together with a note reading, "This is only the beginning."
Beginning? Beginning of what?
Who knows? All I know is we got a real psycho to deal with. As though the plain, ordinary, everyday, made in the USA kind of nuts aren't enough. Hello, Corelli here. What? Yeah, I got it. I'll be right over. Well, he wasn't kidding about the beginning.
You mean?
Right, our psycho got himself another pinup boy.
The next morning at an art lecture at the university, one cannot help but admire certain achievements of the Aztecs. Their temple pyramids, aqueducts, public buildings, and causeways. Mr. Parker.
Huh? What? Oh!
Mr. Parker, forgive me for this rude interruption of your siesta.
But in the interest of art, and with your kind permission, I should like to continue this lecture, if I may.
Oh, sure. Go right ahead.
Thank you. To continue, consider now the famous Aztec calendar stone, a primitive yet ingenious concept for measuring time based on astronomical calculations. Well, it seems like time here has run out in more ways than your primitive minds could ever imagine. I shall continue with this subject on Monday.
Professor Cordovan?
Yes?
Professor, I'm Captain Corelli, Homicide, New York Police.
What can I do for you, Captain?
We're trying to find out if there's any connection between the theft of a painting from the museum 2 days ago and the murder of 3 prominent New Yorkers which followed.
3? I only heard about 2.
Parker, what are you doing here?
I'm taking Professor Cordovan's course. Saw you come in. You said 3 murders? Who's the 3rd?
H. Llewellyn Fitzwilliams, art collector. Just happened, sometime before dawn this morning.
The 2nd was Cyrus M. Talborn, art critic.
Right. And the 1st was Henry Wallingford Jones, curator of the museum.
I heard about the last 2. Most tragic. As assistant to Mr. Jones, I was closely associated with him. A fine gentleman. I am devastated.
You and he appear to be the only ones who have actually seen the stolen painting, the El Greco. Can you tell us anything about it?
Indeed, I can. First of all, it was not an El Greco, but the work of an unknown 16th century artist.
Then it isn't particularly valuable.
Oh, I should say it's worth no more than $1,000, perhaps 2.
Well, there goes my theory about a $1 million ransom demand. Say, tell me, Professor, whose portrait was it? Anyone important?
Not particularly. Just a soldier in the army of Cortez, conqueror of Mexico, entitled the Conquistador.
Wow. The look in his eyes when he said that. And why is my spider sense tingling all of a sudden?
Well, thanks anyway, Professor. Even though it leaves me where I was, right back on square one.
Suddenly, Professor, you interest me. And if the captain doesn't call on you, someone else will. Namely, your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man.
Late that night, in the dim-lit ballroom of the rundown old mansion where Professor Cordovan lives alone.
Look at this place. Looks more like a museum than home sweet home. All those old paintings on the wall and suits of armor standing all around it. Uh-oh, here comes somebody. Well, bless my buttons and call me Columbus. Look at that. Professor Cordovan, all dressed up like a Spanish knight of old. Suit of armor, helmet, sword and all. He stopped in front of that painting. Can't quite make out what it is. What do you know? A life-size portrait of the Conquistador. And will you look at that? He's a dead ringer for the professor.
History will record that you, my noble ancestor, crushed the inferior races of Mexico like insects beneath your feet for the greater glory of Spain.
He's talking to the picture.
But it will further record that I, Ricardo Don Diego de Cordovan, officer in the army of the great Cortez, will conquer all the Americas.
Bravo, Don Diego.
Spider-Man.
And just how does the great conquistador plan to do that little thing?
You dare mock the conquistador?
He really believes that's who he is. He's flaky as a flea on a flagpole. Excellency? Just curious as to your plan of conquest.
Since you already know more than is good for you, it will not matter if you know the rest. In a series of brilliantly planned executions, I shall remove the leaders of your decadent society and proclaim myself Governor General.
You're so modest, Excellency.
I have already eliminated 3 who scoffed at my dream.
So you're the pin-up killer.
Executioner, not killer. And now, by order of El Conquistador, you, Spider-Man, are next.
He's out of his tree.
Do you prefer the sword or a bullet in the head?
I'll take vanilla, if you don't mind.
Insolent dog. Then die the death of a dog.
You missed, Excellency. With that ancient pistol, you couldn't hit City Hall at 10 paces.
Then the sword of Cortez will silence that foul tongue.
Naughty, naughty. I think I better take that pig sticker away from you with my special pig sticker remover web shot number 13, like this. Now, why not give up on this project and come with me to a nice, friendly neighborhood psychiatrist and...
The ultimate insult. But disarmed and dishonored, I have no choice but to surrender.
That's better. Here, take my hand and we'll walk out together.
Aha! And now with my bare hands, I shall crush the life from your worthless body.
Oh, I sure goofed this time. He's got the super strength of a madman. And with those spikes on his armor, I'm done for if I don't get loose fast. I feel weak. I gotta make one last... free. That's better.
Ah, there is no escape for you, Montezuma.
Montezuma? He's living the 16th century all over again.
You shall die, and your Aztecs shall be my slaves, serving the glory of Spain for 1,000 years.
He's completely mad. Gotta end this mercifully right now with my extra strong 18X webbing like so.
I'll kill you! I'll kill you, slave! I'll kill you! I'll kill you!
Yeah, Corelli here. Oh, Dr. Rialdo. Yeah. Too bad. Okay, thanks for the call.
What's the word, Captain?
You again, Parker. Don't you do anything but hang around police stations and cut out paper dolls.
Temper, temper, Captain.
Must control ourselves.
Okay. You can tell your editor that Professor Cordovan has been pronounced hopelessly insane.
Then the case of the conquistador is closed, right?
Right. And now, will you leave me in peace, please?
Sure, Captain. I only aim to please.
And that was the Return of the Conquistador, or as the 45 sleeve says, just Conquistador. It, like I said, it's got a pretty grim opening.
Wow.
A guy getting his ear sliced off and pinned to his body. What did you think of it, Chris?
That's right up there with the suicidal clown and, you know, the woman getting thrown out of the window and the monster record. I mean, it's here we go again, you know, it's almost even worse because these two police detectives are just speaking about it in a very flippant fashion. You know, oh yeah, some guy got shot and then his ear cut off and pinned to him. Ah, you know, what's for lunch? You know, so very strange.
I mean, part of the reason I wanted to do this episode, I mean, in terms of being Spider-Man, is Chris and his wife Cindy have their podcast, Supermates podcast, and they did an episode about the Spider-Man TV series.
I kind of wanted
to do this as an unofficial sequel to that episode, because one of the things they inject into the Spider-Man pilot and the Spider-Man series is a sort of wisecracking police chief, which is right out of every 70s TV show. And they just clearly felt like, well, we have to kind of make Spider-Man more normal. And you've got that here. You've got the wisecracking police officers.
Right,
Captain Corelli in this case. You know, they just felt like you had to fit these Marvel superheroes into a pre-existing TV format that people would understand.
Right. I mean, this could have been an episode, well, much like the TV show. It could have been an episode of any cop drama, really.
Yeah.
You know, maybe the Conquistador is a little wacky, but, you know, sometimes they would delve into that. Yeah, Andrew Leyland was actually a guest on that episode, and we talked about Captain Barbera of that series, played by Michael Pataki. And him and Captain Corelli sure do have a lot in common. So, you know, since this came 2 years before, who knows? I mean, maybe somebody on that show listen to these just to get an idea of how to dramatize Spider-Man, but also it could very possibly be what you said. It's just the generic way to go. It's the 70s cop template, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they just, even for kids, I mean, they just realized we had to make it, you know, they figured they had to make it, you know, just something a little that people could understand. I mean, and we've mentioned before on other things about, like, you know, the Doctor Strange pilot that didn't go anywhere. It was basically like a medical center episode with a magician in the middle of it, you know? And
then
the Hulk is the fugitive, you know? I mean, they really couldn't trust, that these concepts could carry their own thing. So, but I mean, this is a pretty fun adventure as these things go. I mean, the Conquistador is kind of a fun villain. I mean, he's certainly completely cuckoo, which is always sort of a fun thing to listen to.
Yeah, you know, he was talking about the TV shows, not to get back too far back into that, but Captain America was a rehash of the $6 Million Man on TV.
Right.
So, yeah, and the Conquistador, I think it's pretty interesting how they really don't try to set up much of a mystery. You're pretty sure from the start that the professor, Cordovan, is the Conquistador from the get-go.
Yeah, not exactly a real brain teaser, but who the Conquistador might be.
Yeah. I thought it was interesting when he said his full name. It was Ricardo Don Diego de Cordovan. And One, I think somebody has definitely been, you know, watching old Zorro movies with the Don Diego in there. But I'm pretty sure that the Don and Don Diego de la Vega from Zorro, the Don is his title because that's like a land, that's like a lord, a landowner. So I'm not sure if these guys knew that when they stuck the Don in the middle of this guy's name, but it probably sounded good, so they didn't care. You know?
I think that's why Don Corleone is called Don Corleone, because apparently in the movie, when they people call him Don Corleone, like, that's not actually, like, sort of right. You wouldn't actually call him that, but that right. just sounded good. So, yeah, I think it's probably the same thing here. You know, just like, oh, it just sounds right. You know, kids aren't going to know the difference, so what the hell?
Right.
Yeah. But it's a fun, like I said, it is a fun adventure. We'll talk about this in the next one, but, like, it's so strange that, like, none of the Marvel villains are used here in these records.
No. Yeah, I mean, you know, it just seems weird that they went out of their way to. I'm sure it was probably all lumped together in a license. I'm sure they didn't have to pay extra to get Kraven or you know, Electro or somebody. But you know, I know sometimes licenses are piecemeal now, but I'm pretty sure back then it's like, yeah, we want to make a record. All right, give us a certain amount of money, you can make a record. You know?
Yeah, pretty much.
Go do what you want. We don't care.
Yeah.
I liked at the end when the conquistador was like, I'll kill you. He sounded kind of like Jeff Dunham's Ahmed the Dead Terrorist puppet, you know. It's a little strange there, but
they did a good job. They said it is one of my more. It's not the best Spider-Man ever done, because that's still to me Mark of the Man-Wolf. But you know,
yeah.
it moves along at a brisk pace. I mean, it's only 8 minutes. It has to move at a brisk pace. They don't have a lot of time. Although I do enjoy poor Peter getting made fun of in his classroom when he. Falls asleep in the thing, you know. I thought I enjoyed that. It's just like poor Peter can never get a break, no matter what.
Yeah, that was a nice little, you know. That they did at least captured that better than the Spider-Man TV series, honestly.
Yeah,
you know, because hapless Peter Parker look there. So
yeah,
I like the voice actor that played the conquistador. You know, he pulled off the accent pretty well, and he definitely conveyed that he was out of his rocker. So he did a good job there.
All right. Well, next up is, I said, the second story from the same record, and is called The Mad Hatter of Manhattan. It is not the Mad Hatter from Batman, unfortunately. That would have been an amazing crossover. So, but this one is, as you'll hear, a little more of a lighthearted adventure. So enjoy The Amazing Spider-Man in The Mad Hatter of Manhattan.
Come in. If it's men's hats you're looking for, Harry the Hat is where it's at. What can I do for you? I'm Harry.
Oh, hi. I want to buy a hat for my boyfriend.
Aha! You came to the right place. What size?
About 7.5, I think.
Got just the thing. Look at this beauty. Bright and snappy. Make you both happy.
Well, Peter is on the conservative side. I think this is a little too far out.
Not another word. I know just what you want. Just take a look at this magnificent display over here.
We interrupt this program to bring you a special bulletin. In a bold daylight holdup, the Second National Bank was robbed by a thief with a flair for the fantastic. Dressed like Robin Hood, the bandit got away with $1 million in less than 20 minutes.
$1 million for 20 minutes' work? In my store, it would take me 20 years to make half that.
In a flamboyant farewell gesture, he tossed a feather from his hat to a girl teller as he left.
Sounds romantic.
I don't know. Stuff like that could give hats a bad name.
Meanwhile, at police headquarters...
Everybody wants in on showbiz. First is that clown running around dressed up like Paul Revere.
Yeah, only Paul Revere was too busy holding on to his horse to be holding on to the loot from three banks.
And then that fugitive from the Three Musketeers calling himself D'Artagnan, ripping off $1 million Rembrandt at the museum. The commissioner's been on my back ever since.
And now Robin Hood, like out of an old Errol Flynn movie.
Yeah, with all these dinglings running loose, all I need is for that creep Spider-Man to pull one of his capers, and I'll be climbing the walls for sure.
Hi, Captain. What's with Spider-Man? Trouble again?
Oh, it's you, Parker, the little man with the big ears. How'd you get away from your babysitter?
Only doing my job, Captain. Anything new in the Robin Hood heist?
Not a thing. No fingerprints, no weapon, no nothing. Just this feather.
Might as well get a picture of it. Anything to keep old Jameson quiet. A feather from a Robin Hood hat, a fancy Three Musketeer hat, and the Paul Revere Yankee Doodle bit. Looks to me like the work of one man, a sort of Mad Hatter of Manhattan. Any theories, Captain?
We're working on it, Sonny. We're working on it. Now, why don't you pick up your hat and your marbles and run along like a good little boy? I got work to do.
Okay. Don't go away mad.
Hey, Mulligan!
I want a 24-hour guard put on the Queen Britannia when she docks on Friday. She's carrying the Caldorian crown jewels worth $15 million, and ain't nobody gonna get near that ship or we'll all go back to pounding pavements.
$15 million. Just the kind of bait a brilliant kook like this Mad Hatter would go for. Captain, you're gonna get some help from Spider-Man whether you like it or not.
It is 12 o'clock noon on Friday, 3 days later. The Queen Britannia has arrived safely at the dock.
Okay, Mulligan, got your men stationed?
Yes, sir, Captain. 24 of New York's finest. It would take a whole army to get by us.
And with me on the job personally, this is one time I don't have to worry about any... Uh-oh. Now what?
The jewels! He's got the jewels! Stop him!
Stop him! Captain, look! Do you see what I see?
Where?
Way up there, on the prow of the ship. It's a pirate. It's Captain Kidd!
Oh, no! Here we go again.
Thanks for the reception, committee gentlemen. Just like the old days on the Spanish Main. But don't worry about the jewels. Captain Kidd will take very good care of them.
You fool! You can't get away with this!
On the contrary, my dear Captain, I am getting away. 15 men on a dead man's chest, yo-ho-ho, and a bottle of rum.
Look at that! He took a running start, and he's swinging on that rope, and now, I don't believe it, he's practically flying!
It's impossible!
I know it's impossible, but he's doing it. All the way from the ship to that warehouse roof. He's getting away. He's disappeared.
Adios, amigos!
The biggest and boldest robbery in the history of New York, and a one-man job at that. Now to get back to the...
Congratulations, old boy.
Huh? Spider-Man, what are you doing here?
Hate to spoil the fun, chum, but enough is enough, and you're too much.
Now take it easy, Spider-Man, take it easy. Maybe we can make a deal. We've got a lot in common, you and I.
No deal, Harry.
So you know who I am. Tell me, how did you figure it out?
A feather in the hat my young friend Peter Parker was wearing gave me the first tip-off, and I've been close on your heels ever since.
So, no deal?
No deal.
Then how about some cold steel?
A sword, huh? Harry the Hat, the Mad Hatter of Manhattan, a swashbuckling romantic to the last.
Hate to do this to you, Spider-Man, but I gave you a chance. And as Captain Kidd might have said, get the point!
Aren't you the cut-up, Harry? Be careful, though. You might cut yourself with that toy.
That was a close shave, as the man said to the barber.
Good moving, Spider-Man. Oh, what a team we could make, you and I.
Still no deal, Harry.
Bobby, what a pity. Then try this.
My arm. Numb. You've got some kind of ray gun built into that sword. Took me by surprise.
And this.
Now my leg. It seems I underestimated you.
Captain Kidd doesn't kid around. And now, Spider-Man, because you know too much, regretfully, I've got to finish you off. Oops! You took the sword right out of my hand.
Yep, Spider-Man doesn't fool around either. And now for the webhead's famous triple twist over the head, down the hatch, rapper-rapper.
Oh, look what you did to my beautiful Captain Kidd pirate hat.
How about that? Here he is, tied up in knots like a pretzel, ready to be handed over to the gendarmes, and all he worries about is his hat.
Do me one last favor, Spider-Man.
Sure. What is it?
Take this helmet off my head.
Helmet? Oh, yeah. It fits so close to your head, I didn't even notice it. Just thought you were kind of bald. There you are.
Whew, thanks.
So what does it do?
By way of an electromagnetic impulse accelerator connected to the brain, it gave me the power to think clearer, run faster, jump higher, and hit harder than anyone alive. Till I met you. Now all it gives me is a headache.
Well, cheer up, old friend. You were good for a bunch of laughs, and you never really did hurt anyone. So, after a year or two in the hoosegow, you can go back to being just plain Harry the Hat.
And that was the Mad Hatter of Manhattan, which is just fun to say. As I mentioned going in, this is definitely more of a lighthearted story than the one with the conquistador.
Yeah, yeah. Nobody gets no ears were injured in the making of this power. I thought it was funny in the beginning. You know, Mary Jane's like in this hat shop. You know, going to buy Peter a hat. I don't really think Peter Parker's a hat guy. I can't remember seeing him wear a hat in like. You know, 50 years worth of comics. So MJ's just a bad gift buyer, you know? She probably always giving him stuff he doesn't like. It's like in a pile somewhere in his closet, you know?
But you put up with it because it's Mary Jane.
Right, you know. Yeah, exactly. I thought was really kind of, it took me a while to get used to, was Harry the Hat, the radio announcer, and Captain Corelli were all the same voice actor.
Yep.
And he really didn't vary his voice that much. And I had to stop and think, especially between Harry the Hat and Corelli, who was speaking here, who's supposed to be speaking, especially without a comic to go by.
Yeah, know? Yeah. I do like that. It is one of those things where you mentioned here, but he talks about that he has developed a ray gun that was built into a sword, and then a helmet that enhances mental and physical abilities. And it's like, just sell those things. So why are you doing crimes? Just patent those and make a fortune. I mean, you would be the next Steve Jobs. What's the matter with you? I don't understand.
It's like the old Mark Waid thing where he says, you know, Lex Luthor will build a $10 million robot to trash a bank and steal $100,000 or something. You know? And he's right, you know.
So he's allowed to be logical and I'm not.
That wasn't Cindy pointing out some story inconsistency in this.
Yes, that was my wife Cindy saying, "Is he's allowed to be logical and I'm not?" He was,
oh, all right.
We were griping at Cindy off air about how she, you know, tends to pick comic stories apart and stuff and ruin them for everybody.
Sometimes you just need blind faith. All right, good Lord. So these are both, you know, they're both a lot of fun. They're not very Spider-Man-y in terms of just how they did the tone of them. They don't work in any of the other characters. I mean, there's Mary Jane, but there's no J. Jonah Jameson. He's sort of kind of doing his own thing. I mean, it might have been, I guess if you're commissioned by Power Records to write these and you didn't really want to bother to do research, I guess you would just write your own thing too anyway. You know, what the hell? Yeah. Just, you know, hey, just write Spider-Man the way I want to.
Yeah, Spider-Man spins webs. He sticks to walls. You know, I know he works for a newspaper. Let's go.
Yeah, we're done.
We're done.
I got to get this done before lunch. I don't have a lot of time to put in research. There's no Google right now. So now, right. Did you have either one of these as a kid?
Well, kind of yes and no. There's an interesting story behind this one. I'm pretty sure that this was probably 1984. So, you know, I don't know if Power Records was even in business at this point. The last Power Records I had gotten was the tape version, the audio tape version of the Invasion of the Dragon Men that we talked about before, which I actually did find that tape since we recorded that.
Awesome.
Yeah, so I do have that. So it did exist. It's not just in my brain. My mom came home from Walmart, I believe, had just opened in town, and I think they were closing out like a lot of vinyl. I mean, vinyl records, and I'm thinking these two may have even been bundled together, like back to back, and shrink wrapped together. So I open them up, and I'm thinking, oh man, this Conquistador one looks awesome. And even then, I could tell it was Neil Adams. I was like 10, you know, but I could tell. And you know, the one with the Mad Hatter is okay, but. You know, so I open them up and, you know, the Mad Hatters, that's cool. There's the record. Open the Conquistador and it's the wrong record. It's got some Peter Pan, which of course was the parent company of Power Records. It's got some Peter Pan record. I don't even remember what it was. It was like, I swear it was like the Three Bears or something.
Not even a comic book one.
No, it wasn't.
Oh, no.
It was somebody at the Power Records plant was just shoving crap into the sleeves.
Oh, no.
So, I mean, here's this awesome Neil Adams cover that we talked about, the sleeve, and I get nothing inside.
Oh,
so I was just like,
man, that's a burn.
Until you started your Power Record blog, I had never heard it. So, thanks. Again, you saved the day after 20 years later. But,
oh,
you know,
that's awful. That is that's crushing. That really is. Oh, no. Strawberry Shortcake, what the hell am I supposed to do with this? Oh, that's terrible. Oh, damn you, Power Records. Oh, yeah. I swear to God.
some lazy bastard at the pirate office of the wrong record in the sleeve.
Man, oh, that is just sad. So, so that's we got to go out on that. That's good. Those are the two Spider-Man records. We will do the other two from this LP at some point along the line, but we hope you enjoyed listening to those two amazing Spider-Man adventures. We are now going to move on to feedback, because we got feedback for the last episode, which was, of course, Planet of the Apes episode, our double-length Planet of the Apes episode. So we're going to go right into that. We got an email from Darren and Ruth Sutherland. We're always happy to hear from them. He wrote to me, he wrote to me. He's like, "Hi, I'm having a ball listening to the Planet of the Apes Power Record episode. I'm a lifelong fan of the classic Planet of the Apes, having discovered the movies on TV at a very early age. In fact, the final film in the series is one of the first movies I saw in theaters as a child. I learned the shocking reality of TV series cancellation as a 9-year-old watching the live-action series in 1974. The animated series a year later provided some small relief. My wonderful mother purchased the 5-movie set for me as a Christmas present when they first were released on VHS in the 1980s. Today I own the complete movies, the complete live-action series, the complete animated series on DVD from my wonderful wife, Ruth. And yes, I own several of the Mego figures as a child, so I have them today, although they were in sad condition. Now it's time to listen to the second half of the episode. Darren, that is a fan. He is an uber fan. He's got everything. Yes. He's got the VHS, he's got the DVDs, he's got everything. So, Darren, thank you very much. I'm glad you enjoyed that episode. You had a lot of fun.
He really makes me look bad for not being an apes guy.
He was into it, man. He was really, really into it.
That's great.
We got a comment from Luke Giaconetti over on Firestorm Fan. He wrote, "Downloading now, can't wait to listen. The Power Record shows are always fun, but this one seems like it'll be extra special with what it being essentially being a crossover of the Fire and Water podcast and Two True Freaks. Hopefully this being such a crossover, the two sides will initially fight one another before deciding to team up." It's all a big misunderstanding. Mighty Marvel manner, absolutely. So next up, we got something from Count Druncula. Chris, do you want to read that one?
Yeah, sure. "I've never been much of a Planet of the Apes fan. I've seen the original movie and the awful Tim Burton version, but none of the classic sequels or Rise. I did, however, read the first couple issues published by Boom and liked them a lot. It's no hyperbole to say this Power Records podcast has given me a greater exposure to this franchise than any other media so far. The shows themselves are terrific fun. I like these more than the superhero shows covered in episodes 2 through 4,
oops,
but not as much as the Man-Thing and horror episodes you started with last Halloween." Yeah, well, Count Dracula's kind of coming from the same place as me, I guess, where it comes to apes. So
yeah, it's just,
I'm not the only one.
Well, that's good. We got an email from Frank, a Diablo Frank. He writes, "Hated the Planet of the Apes adaptation. The voice acting on Taylor is terrible, and specific actors are so associated for me with the voice of the apes, I can accept no substitutes. Kids may have loved the apes, but even as a kid, the tone was so important to my personal enjoyment that I think I'd have found this thin adaptation distasteful even then. Today, well aware of the lost mature themes and social commentary, I feel a low simmering anger while listening."
Doesn't Frank always feel a low simmering anger?
This is baseline, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and he actually says, "Chris, rectify." "I'm going to rectify, I swear, guys. I swear I'll go on a Planet of the Apes binge here for long. I promise."
Awesome. He also wrote, "I'm inordinately, probably inappropriately fond of Howard the Duck. I recognize this admission casts suspicion over any other opinion expressed here."
Yeah, he was referring to the movie because somehow dovetailed into talking about the fact that I subjected my children to watching that movie shortly before we recorded the Planet of the Apes episode. So,
aye, aye, aye.
Yeah.
What did they think of? Well, spoiler alert. What did they think of Guardians of the Galaxy final scene?
When we were walking out of the theater, I said, "Cena, aren't you guys glad we watched that movie?" And my son Andrew's like, "No."
Andrew is correct in this assessment, actually.
Yes.
Frank ends it with, "Look, no offense, but you can just pitch this podcast into the garbage if it gets between me and Rob finding the Doctor Strange audio show. put everything in your life on hold until you can make that happen. I will congratulate your successful accomplishment, give a nod to your sacrifices, and then nitpick that too. I did do a little research. I have not been able to find anything, but I'm not going to give up. It's got to be somewhere. They have to exist somewhere. I don't believe somebody hasn't recorded them.
Yeah, there was an article in the latest back issue about the Fantastic Four radio show, which we had brought up when we were talking about Doctor Strange. And I was kind of hoping there might be a little mention of, you know, that existing before the FF show, but there's nothing in there about it. So I'm thinking this, you know, this is pretty, it's got to be pretty obscure. You know,
yeah.
I never heard of it before, so. It might take some digging to find something on that.
Yeah, I know a couple of people that are really good at finding obscure things out there, you know, like sort of all this pre-internet stuff. So I got to consult them because I got to find it. I mean, just to hear even 5 minutes of it, it's got to be out there somewhere. So the hunt goes on, Frank. The hunt goes on. Finally, we got a message from Kyle Benning, and he writes, "The first power Planet of the Apes adventure. Man, that is weird that they leave so many key parts out, including the epic line, 'Get your hands off me, you damn dirty ape.'" I guess maybe the word damn is the problem in there. "I mean, right. That is the essential line of the entire franchise. Still a great adventure. Man, I wish I'd had this one." Quote, "You know, back home, the problem with most women is they talk too much." And he writes, "Wow, I can't believe they kept that line in there." It's a bad pun, but he's gone bananas. Jeez, it's been a while since I've seen this one. Forgot how dark that ending was. Why did they choose to adapt these for kids again? And then he talks about how much he would have loved to have heard a Flash Gordon Power Records adaptation. But yeah, that would have been amazing. It really, truly would have been amazing. And it seems perfect material for Power Records. But, you know, until I write my book, we'll never know for the decisions they make or why they did the things they did over there at Power Records up in Newark.
Right. Yeah. Well, it's, you know, after Guardians of the Galaxy, certain things about it kind of reminded me of the Flash Gordon movie of the 80s, you know, the rock and roll sci-fi vibe about it. So it makes me want it even more. Power Records and Flash Gordon.
Yeah. 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 It would have been really cool. So, anyway, that is the latest episode of the Power Records podcast featuring the amazing Spider-Man. Chris, where can people find you on the internet?
Well, you can find me and my wife, Cindy, on the Supermates podcast, and you can find that at supermatescomic.blogspot.com, or just go to iTunes and search for Supermates.
Yeah, it's a great show. It's one of the few podcasts I can honestly say that when a new episode pops up, I stop what I'm listening to at that moment and then listen to that show.
Well, thank you.
I always do it. It always is a real lot of fun. So everybody should listen to it, the Supermates podcast. As always, you can find me on AquamanShrine.net. You can find Chag at FirestormFan.com and the Firewater on the Firewater podcast feed. And you can, if you want to send us an email, it's firewaterpodcast@conquest.net. The Tumblr is fireandwaterpodcast.tumblr.com. And if you talk about us on the social medias, please use the hashtag FWPodcast. So until the next episode of the Power Records podcast, drop the needle and turn the page.
Come, Robin, into the Batmobile and home.
Many, many years ago, there was a dear little girl named Goldilocks. Although she loved her mother and father very much and obeyed them in almost every other thing, little Goldilocks kept wandering away from home. Her mother had said,
"Goldilocks, you must stay in the yard. Good little girls don't wander away from home."
Her father had taken her on his knee and warned her time and time again of the big bad animals that might chase her and frighten her to tears.